Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
You're listening to Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and happy Martin Luther King Day. It looks like, judging from the size of the crowd here at Roberta's, you can tell it's a long weekend holiday. And not to discredit the king or anything, the king. Did I say the king? The Reverend, Martin Luther King. You know, it's kind of one of those weekends where a lot of people take the opportunity to get out of town. Maybe not these people here, unless they came in from somewhere else. But anyway, we're talking about travel and food with the founder of JauntSetter.com, Dorothy McGivney.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Sure, thanks for coming down here all the way from Long Island now, your new home.
My pleasure. Pizza and travel are two of my favorite things, so.
Terrific. How long have you been doing Jaunt Setter?
I started in late 2008, so a little over 3 years.
Definitely check this thing out. A jaunt is, if I'm not mistaken, it's either like a really brief trip or a shorter distance trip or both?
Absolutely, yeah. It's okay. Like it's a short trip usually. That's how people use the word jaunt. But I also use it as a little bit of a play on words because you can wear a hat that's like jaunty.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, slightly askew or
bouncy
style. Exactly. Yeah. So it's a little play on that. And then, of course, jet setter. So.
Yeah. So it seems like this is the anti-jet setter because that seems to connotate like this really high profile, kind of like really expensive trip, whereas yours is all about just average people trying to get away for as cheap as possible, usually.
Absolutely. Jaunt Setter, I created it specifically for New Yorkers, and it's all about escaping the city. And I think in order to really appreciate New York, you have to leave it every once in a while, or else it becomes a kind of overwhelming to the senses to be here 24/7, 365 days a year. So I think having a little bit of distance, it doesn't have to be a great deal of distance, can help you just really appreciate the city a lot more. That said, there are options on the site for taking longer trips, or for splurging now and then. But yeah, really, it's written with making travel more accessible to the everyday New Yorker.
Right. And you scour for deals that you broadcast and share with folks.
Yes. So
one, very helpful.
One of my favorite parts of the newsletter is the top travel deals of the week section. And it depends on how many good things I find that are out there. But it can be anywhere from one to like eight deals on airfare or rental homes or last minute hotel deals. And there's such a proliferation of travel sites out there with all these deals. And a lot of them are just cleverly crafted marketing promotions. So I actually sit down and do the math and look at what the actual rates are at a hotel for specific dates, and then look at what the sale says is the discount and figure out if it really is a genuine sale.
I see. And just for New Yorkers too.
Yeah. So if there's, you know, there's so many airfare deals, but New Yorkers are only interested in airfare deals that have to do with flights taking off or leaving from Newark, LaGuardia, or JFK.
Right.
So, you know.
Very helpful.
Yeah. And most New Yorkers aren't really interested in going to, like, Tampa, for example. So I try and pick out destinations that appeal to a New Yorker's sensibility. So along the lines of, you know, food-related travel, New Yorkers are big eaters and really appreciate amazing culinary adventures. Like, if there's a
not
cheap...
like in Tampa.
Yeah, exactly. So if there's a cheap airfare to New Orleans, that definitely gets written about on the site and brought up.
Cool. Well, thank you for doing that. Were you just like a avid jauntsetter yourself, and you just were like, hey, why isn't anyone doing this?
Yeah, so it was simply a situation where I had a passion, which was travel. I always loved to write before I started actually working at Google in early 2002, and I worked in advertising for Google, and a lot of advertisers...
Wait, you left a job at Google?
Well, I worked there for almost 6 years, so oh, wow. It grew a lot when I was there, and it's an amazing place to work. Believe me, sometimes I really regret giving up the access to the cafeteria. it was a hard decision, but a lot of advertisers were asking for, you know, there's not a lot of great quality content around travel out there to advertise against. And as a traveler and as someone who would kind of take that 3 o'clock break at my computer every afternoon and look for a little escapism online, I would look at travel sites and travel deals and fantasize, what if I could get away at the last minute this weekend or take a trip in a few weeks, where would I go? And I noticed, yeah, there wasn't really anything out there that addressed me as a New Yorker at the time, someone who's in my late 20s that didn't want to go on like an all-inclusive cruise or like budget travelers, super family oriented. And then the other end of the spectrum was just super luxury travel. So a lot of content like Travel and Leisure and Condé Nast Traveler was for people who could spend like $400 a night in a hotel and think nothing of it.
It's kind of an annoying experience, right? Yeah. When you're just trying to buy tickets and you're like, wait, I don't know about you, but I always get like a million pop-ups too when I'm just trying to buy tickets or something. And it's like, and at the end of the day, I have all these weird windows.
Absolutely. And that is, I shared that frustration, not only from an editorial point of view where you'd go to these sites and it would just be so overwhelming and the layout was really cluttered and it just felt like not a situation where you could be inspired because you were just so confused by the website. But with finding, you know, airfare or hotels, yeah, all these things would pop up and people would be trying to basically just channel you through a sales process and get you to purchase a ticket or book a hotel. So when I designed Johnsetter, it really hasn't changed.
Did you say channel you through a
deal? Yeah. They just want to get you to push
fancy
that purchase button. But yeah, Johnsetter, it's not a sales site and it's very clean. And the design is very minimalist because I want people to feel like they're not overwhelmed when they're thinking about travel. They're given room to like imagine.
And I love all the fun features like Johnsetter of the Week, interviews with just all sorts of people.
Well, and thank you for being a Johnsetter of the Week. Kathy is on the site in the archives. So. Yeah.
What did I say? That was fun. I don't know.
I love talking about travel, and I think that's for New Yorkers. Again, not to sound super snobby about being a New Yorker, New York, New York, New York, but I think people really appreciate from the city hearing from other people because we have so many things in the city at our fingertips in terms of food and experiences. I think it does make you a little bit more naturally of a discerning traveler. So I think it's always really nice to read about, like, I love in New York Magazine, the New York Diet feature, reading about what people eat.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's
so
fun.
Yeah, so I just really wanted to have an interview feature where you could just read about how New Yorkers travel.
Cool. And there's so many places, like if you just step a few miles outside of New York, that you could just be in a totally different world, like even just Hudson County.
Absolutely. One question I try to get people to answer, and most people do have an answer, is what's your favorite easy escape from the city or what's your favorite day trip from the city? And I've learned so much from those answers, even though I grew up in the area and have traveled a lot in the area. Anything from taking a quick train trip up to Beacon is super fast and easy, and you can end up at the Dia, and there's actually a hike that you can take that's, you know, you don't need amazing shoes.
I should have read the newsletter, because I actually took a jaunt for no reason to Beacon on two of the days of the week that Dia, the museum, is closed.
Oh, no. I feel like I'm always visiting.
It was actually great, though. I was just wandering around. People were like, why are you here?
Did you go into, like, the little main street?
Yeah. I stayed at some B&B, and I was they're like, why are you here?
That's like sad, but also very nice to hear that you still enjoyed yourself. And sometimes the best travel can be unplanned and spontaneous and unexpected.
Mm-hmm. How do you think travel has changed in the last few years since you started this? It was kind of like, oh, let's take a jaunt all the time. But now it's like, oh, travel is getting more expensive, it seems, like airfare. Just
I think
on a whole.
There is a perception that kind of airfare has become more expensive and that the whole experience has gotten so much worse for consumers. And I do think that airlines have learned to kind of like nickel and dime consumers around baggage fees.
Yeah,
I never would have ever thought that would have been something that airlines would adopt and that you were the exception to the rule if you didn't do that. I think, yeah, the industry is in crisis for sure, and that can just sort of contribute to like an overwhelming sense of consumers feeling mistreated. At the same time, if you know where to look, you can still find amazing deals. And especially in New York, there's all these sites that have come out and all these other newsletters. Like there's Airfare Watchdog. If people are really into finding flights, Airfare Watchdog has a newsletter and a website that features amazing airfares by airport. And so unlike Jauntsetter, where I like curate and edit and hand select what I think would be interesting, Airfare Watchdog actually has like a amazing compendium of like the week's best deals by airport. So I think there's more information available to interested consumers, and if you're able to do a little legwork, you can still find great deals. But the average consumer who wants to fly that might have used a travel agent in the past, or like your parents who don't know where to look and can get overwhelmed by like opening up a browser and typing in an address, that I think they're kind of not in a great spot anymore.
Are travel agencies like just out of luck, or?
There have been a few trend stories I've read. I haven't experienced it in my own life, speaking to friends or other travelers, and I've asked Jauntsetters of the Week if they've used travel agents. I haven't seen a return of the travel agent, but I have read a few industry pieces that say people are going back to travel agents.
Oh.
And the only two people I know that have used them were for special occasions. So where they went on a honeymoon and they wanted, it was like a big trip. They spent a lot of money. There was a lot of different legs of travel. And if anything went wrong, they wanted to be able to pick up the phone and have someone else take care of it. And I thought that that made sense. That's not really something that people are doing for everyday trips that I see, you know, in our age group in New York.
Yeah. Well, maybe not everyone knows about the sites you're mentioning in Jauntsetter too.
But yeah, if anyone knows of a like great a travel personal. Agent that's cool, like that's not like, okay, I'm going to send you to this nondescript resort because I have a relationship with it.
Oh.
You know, I think there's like some murkiness that can happen there. But if anyone had a travel agent they recommended, I would love to like check them out and see what they could do.
That's cool. I know you just came back from a little weekend jaunt too yourself. Where'd you go?
I went up to Calicoon, which is in Sullivan County. I think the name just sounds so cozy.
Yeah.
But it's near another town called Narrowsburg, and it's about, with no traffic, like a 2.5 hour drive from the city, depending on where you're coming from. And it's near the Delaware River, and it's just like there's all this farmland. It's a very bucolic feeling, not a lot of development. And I think for me, one of the biggest attractions is there's no cell phone service in most of the area. And our friend's home, they have a weekend home. It's still pretty cheap to buy real estate up there.
Wow.
There's not much industry. So there's a lot of land. And they have a modest home. It's really nice. And they have no internet access. So I actually love that. I think it's
are
like
there streets lights?
No, it's great. They have there's a little restaurant in downtown Calicoon called Matthew's on Main that serves great food. There's one tiny wine and cheese shop, which is just perfect. So it's like a nice touch. You can buy, you know, comestibles for the weekend and not feel like you're entirely removed from civilization. There's great farms where you can go and actually talk to the farmers and buy, you know, grass-fed meat and like amazing eggs and amazing organic dairy. So there's a lot of great stuff up there, but there's definitely like a lack of being connected digitally. And I think for a lot of New Yorkers, that can be just like one of the most restorative 48 hours that you can spend.
It's kind of like the anti-perk. It's like, yeah, you're totally, we don't have that kind of infrastructure here, sorry.
And there, that is another trend that's being written about, is hotels that are playing that lack of connection up. And
no.
Yeah. Really? So if you're, they're expensive hotels too, and it's like, I wish I had some names off the top of my head, but I did just read this article where people are paying to like go to places where connecting is not an option. Whereas you could just travel really cheaply upstate. And there's a great website called Red Cottage Inc. and they have really nicely designed affordable houses for rent in the Sullivan County area.
Nice.
And and one of the bullet points for a lot of the homes is unplug. There's you don't really have an option because there's spotty cell phone service here.
And that's great.
So if that sounds attractive to you, or I think everyone should give it a try.
Sounds kind of like a Zen retreat.
It
almost
is, but you end up chatting with your friends and like spending all day cooking and leafing through cookbooks because you can't look up recipes online.
Oh,
and
that's right.
Shopping at the farmer's market and playing board games and drinking too much wine and taking long hikes. And in the summer, the river is so fun. You can go rafting, tubing, which I never really did before until a couple years ago.
That?
I was like, what?
An inner tube that you just, a donut or something?
You can rent rafts or inner tubes and then just like get some beer and snacks and then sit in these tubes and like stay with your friends and go through these like slight rapids and just languidly drift down the river. It's nice, cool, clean river, patch of river, and or stretch of river, and then it's like a few hours, and then at the end, like a van picks you up and brings you back to your car.
Wow.
Which sounds kind of like boring, but it's, again, it's like you end up chatting, and when you're too hot, you swim in the water, and it ends
you
up being really fun.
You definitely can't get that in the city.
No.
No matter how much they say you can get in the city, that's
it's
not
total,
one of those things.
It's a total country experience up there, and again, it's only 2.5 hour drive from the city.
And that's a really good tip. We're going to come back with more tips, but you chose a song for our little break.
I did. Eleanor Friedberger, who is of the Fiery Furnaces, was a Jauntsetter of the Week and a friend of mine.
Was the first Jauntsetter Week,
yeah,
right?
First five, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, and she released a solo album, and I love it. So here's
all
one
right.
of the songs.
We'll be right back.
Foods Market creates win-win partnerships with our suppliers, and we'd love to tell their stories. New Chocolates in Brooklyn offers delicious and classic combination truffles and caramels, sweet, salty, some even with beer. Using single-origin cocoa beans, production takes place right in their shop on Atlantic Avenue. Come have a taste in one of our 6 Manhattan locations. Today's Daily Bite is brought to you by Modernist Pantry, supplying innovative ingredients for the modern cook. Visit modernistpantry.com for more.
It's no news that Walmart is big into organic food. But should we be concerned that the concept of organic, with its implications of being local or better, is being subverted or co-opted by a behemoth like Walmart? Chef, activist, and CEO of the Wholesome Wave Foundation, Michel Nichon, puts this into perspective.
My bottom line with these large companies moving in this direction, when you have someone like Walmart saying local is important, it tells us that the demand is so broad and across so many different mm-hmm. socioeconomic barriers that the demand for local is even more than we'll ever understand.
If Walmart pays the true cost of organic regional production instead of forcing prices down for farmers, then that is a giant step forward for rural economies across the country, as well as for those with limited access to fresh foods. Stay tuned.
Hey, we're back on Let's Eat In with Dorothy McGivney, founder of Jauntsetter.com. It's a newsletter, and we just had a Twitter person call in and sort of ask about a piece that was written last year on this day, Martin Luther King Day. Dorothy, do you want to talk about that piece?
Sure. ironically, I turned off my phone when I came in here.
No worries.
So I don't know what the exact comment is, but I do know that for the last couple of years, I have made a point to write a post on Martin Luther King Day, saying that I think that companies should give their employees off today. I think it's one of the most important holidays in the United States. And Martin Luther King Jr. obviously did like a tremendous amount for our country. So I it's of course I love to celebrate the travel aspect of the long weekend. Yeah. But I always just like to make a point that I think a lot of companies optionally in New York will give employees off, but a lot of people I know are at work today.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a shame.
It seems to be weird how they choose which holidays out of each year, and they don't choose sometimes like some company. It's just very arbitrary. It's not meaningful. So
yeah, and the irony is, I mean, I don't think most people know this about Martin Luther King, but I touched on it in the post last year, is he was a world traveler. He traveled to India to learn about, from Gandhi, methods of nonviolence protest and negotiation. And he traveled all around the United States in very uncomfortable times by bus, and just really spent a lot of time on the road spreading his message.
That's true, yeah.
You know, he wasn't a tourist, but he was an explorer. He was ahead of his time, and he was someone that really spent a lot of time on the road in the United States. So that's an interesting way to think of him as well.
Well, thank you for that tribute to the Reverend. Definitely check out that post from last year. If you're on johnsetter.com, you can just sign up. It's a free newsletter. So
yes, it comes out once a week, and occasionally we'll have giveaways that we email people about, but we won't spam you.
So let's talk about the best food jaunts in the city.
Out of the city. Yeah. Okay, well, there's so much amazing food within easy striking distance from the city.
You're talking about Sullivan County Farms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yum.
I think one of the most underrated areas is actually the east end of Long Island, specifically the North Fork.
I love the North Fork.
Yeah, everyone talks about the Hamptons, and I grew up camping in Montauk every year, so I'm a huge Montauk fan, like eating fresh fish, and you know, there's definitely like history of great food in Montauk, but Montauk has just blown up like so tremendously within the last couple of years that it's like almost unrecognizable in some senses in terms of
a little gaudy or something.
It's just gotten really, I would say, trendy, and okay. So it's funny that there's like lines for nightclubs, and like my old favorite restaurant there isn't really a restaurant, it's like a lobster place, Duryea's on the water, where it's like BYO and you just sit on a deck and eat lobster. Now it's like impossible to get in there in the summer. I mean, it's just the lines are so long. So I think the North Fork is kind of like the new Montauk in a sense, because Montauk used to be the unpretentious place that you went to like get out of the city and not go to the Hamptons. And now Montauk is like so popular. So I think the North Fork is like the new Montauk in that it's quieter. It's really unpretentious. There's no lines for anything, and there's amazing restaurants and amazing wine, of course, as well. And some of my favorite vineyards out there are McCall's, which is they actually raise grass-fed meat, grass-fed beef, and they have like these beautiful cows roaming the vineyard.
Oh.
And they have a tasting room in a barn, and they're famous for their Pinot Noir, but they just have like great reds.
So they cook too?
They actually don't cook. They provide one of the restaurants they provide their meat to is the North Fork Table and Inn. And that's also on the North Fork. It's a amazing restaurant. They just started serving brunch on the weekends, but they have four rooms, so if you go out there for one of their extraordinary dinners, you can actually spend the night there, which is kind of like an old-fashioned way of travel. And they just do all sorts of stuff with local ingredients. They also have a food truck in their parking lot, so after a day of wine tasting, if you don't want to sit down to like a big long meal, you can go to their food truck, which is open on the weekends in the winter. And I do think it's a nice off-season place to visit as well. And you can get homemade sausages. They have lobster rolls in the summer. summer. They have baked goods, and it's just a really cool little food experience.
Hey, that's really cool. And the North Fork is really easy to bike around in, too.
It is. It's like I've been to Napa, which is amazing, and I see people riding their bikes there, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
dangerous.
So strenuous and like hot, and like the distances are so far.
No.
But there's absolutely, like, the land is flat out on the North Fork.
It is flat, thankfully. I did the ride to Montauk last year.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I'm impressed.
That was good. Also, there's Wolfer Estate. That's a good vineyard with a tasting room, too.
Yeah, Wolfer is very well known. Shin Estates is also... Right. Okay. I've written about them probably, like, too much on John Setter, but they're also, like, they're a bed and breakfast, but it's really more of an inn, and they also have 4 rooms. They don't have a restaurant, but if you stay there, they have this organic breakfast that they serve you with herbs and vegetables that they grow in their own garden. Nice. On the vineyard. And on Friday nights this winter, they have... palm readings, which is kind of interesting. For $20, you can get your fortune told. And they have $5 cheese plates and $5 wine tastings.
Who wouldn't want to get their palms read after they've had a couple bottles of wine?
It sounds so fun to me. The only issue is you have to get out to the North Fork on Friday by, like, I think 7.
Okay.
Which can be a little hard for people that have, like, a 9-to-5 job and not a car at their disposal immediately. So, but that's just, like, a fun Friday night thing to do. But they're great to visit. They're open all year round. So even if you just go do wine tasting there, they're biodynamic and they're really, like, a small producer, and they have a great table red for sale, which I think is like $15 a bottle. I bought a case of it the last time I was there because it was just so good. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you might have just answered my next question, because that sounds really like a wonderful thing to do for a couple. But what do you think is the ultimate date meal ever? And you can include experience or whatever.
Ooh, the ultimate date meal.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I just love eating. So if you're with the right person, I feel like any meal could be a date meal, but that sounds that's too generic of an answer. I just think anything where you're trying something new and it can be like a conversational piece can be a great thing to bring two people together. So especially if you're traveling out to, like, say the North Fork, you can have oysters that are harvested right from the bay, right on the North Fork. And oysters, I know it's sort of like a cliche that they're an aphrodisiac, but I do think that most people don't sit around eating oysters every day.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels like an adventurous thing to share. And especially if you can get oysters near the source, there's a motel called the Silver Sands Motel in Greenport on the North Fork, and it's like $125 a night, and it's this retro motel from the 30s and 40s, and it hasn't changed very much at all. And it's you know, if you're doing a weekend getaway, it's like an amazing place to go for like a little romantic retreat. They have fireplaces and cottages, and it's affordable, and it's right on the water. And the man that runs it also runs an oyster farm. And
nice.
So when you wake up in the morning, you can see them harvesting oysters from the water. And if you're lucky, he'll show you how to shuck them and give you some straight out of the water. And he also provides oysters to Grand Central Oyster Bar. They serve some of his oysters and Marlow and Sons, which is just like a fantastic place
to
have oysters.
It's probably much cheaper right at the source.
Yes, he'll probably give it to you for
free. Shuck it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get to shuck it yourself there? I love places that let you shuck it.
Well, if you run into the owner at Silver Sands Motel, and he seems a little gruff at first, but he's actually super nice. And you ask
him. Aren't all fishermen supposed to be
exactly.
gruff?
Exactly. he completely comes off as like the like total gruff fisherman, but he went to the Cornell School of Hospitality and owns like all the land around the motel, so it was like a multimillionaire.
He adopted the look.
Yeah, but he is a local and he grew up there, and he works the sea or the bay or whatever. And yeah, he if you show interest in his oysters, he will open up like a bivalve and show you how to shuck oysters. And he gave us like a bunch to take home, 2 dozen in a little container. He was so sweet, and I had friends over for dinner when I came home, and we shucking oysters, it's when you see a professional do it, you're like, oh, that looks not so hard. But when you try it yourself, there is certainly like an amount of technique involved, which I don't have.
And danger possible.
But hunger is the best sauce, as my grandmother used to say. So
how many oysters have you eaten in one sitting?
I've read about people going to Little Neck, that place in Gowanus, and it's oyster bar, and I just feel like I've seen friends being like, I just ate 24 oysters. I've never done anything like that. I think only, though, not because I'm not like a glutton, but the price point has like mitigated any overindulgence on my part. I think the most amount of oysters I've had is probably like 10.
Okay.
I'll have to work on that.
I wasn't sure if there's like a problem, because I see people binge on oysters too sometimes. I'm like, oh, what are the, you know, what's... What are the repercussions of that?
I've heard people tweeting or checking into Foursquare and doing the same thing. And I'm like, why?
Maybe they're going to just have a really romantic night after that.
It's probably one of the lighter foods that you can boast about eating a lot
That's true. So are you going to be writing more about travel with kids stuff now that you have a little arrival on the way?
Well, yes, I
was
will.
Was I allowed to say that?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, that's very... announcement. I am having a baby, my husband and I, our first child in June, early June or late May. And that seems like the perfect time of year to
talk about.
To start thinking about traveling with a kid, because I think I grew up a family of four, and my mom would take us camping when I think my younger sister was like four.
That's impressive, your mom.
Yeah,
and not your dad.
Well,
yeah.
My dad would come, but he was working a lot at that time in his career, and we'd go to Montauk, and I remember a few times he would put on his suit and take the train to go back to the city and work, and leave my mom there with four kids. She still brings it up, but she did a great job. And I think as long as you can avoid inflicting your screaming, you know, infant on a plane full of people, then there's no reason not to travel with kids. And I'd love to write more about that for sure.
Cool. We'll definitely be looking forward to that. It looks like it's all about all the time we have today, but thank you so much for sharing the insights.
Thank you so much for having me, and if anyone who's listening has any questions about any of the destinations I've brought up, feel free to email me at hello@johnsetter.com, because I'd love to promote these local destinations.
Sweet. And that's at @johnsetter Twitter. We'll see you next week. Thanks everyone at Heritage.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks, Dorothy.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.